Hello, everyone. We're going to go ahead and get started. Welcome to the panel, You Can Lead the Students to Water, But the Current State of Drinking Water Availability and Intake in Schools and Childcare Settings. My name is Carla Hampton, and I will be your moderator for this session. I'm an attorney and a consultant with Inagami Consulting Services, where I provide legal and technical assistance on laws and policies that increase healthy eating and active living opportunities in communities and schools. And an area of interest for me, dear to my heart, is water access consumption among children and adolescents. And today you're going to hear about how to improve water access in schools and childcare facilities. For this session, the presenters listed here have no relationships to disclose. This session will discuss the benefits of drinking water instead of sugar-sweetened beverages, such as sodas, sports drinks, and fruit drinks added with sugar. We will provide an overview of the federal and state laws governing water access in schools and childcare facilities. We'll describe what water availability looks like in these settings and provide recommendations for overcoming barriers to improving water access and consumption. So we'll start the session with a quick introduction to the water access issue and an overview of the legislation governing water access in school and childcare settings. Next, we'll hear from the presenters. I've had the pleasure with working with several of them, and we are very glad to have you here with us today. So we have Dr. Anisha Patel. You can just kind of wave your hand. She's an assistant professor of pediatrics at the University of California, San Francisco. Dr. Patel conducts childhood obesity-related research with a focus on developing school and childcare-based interventions and policies to encourage healthy beverage consumption. Then we have Elizabeth Payne. She is a research coordinator at the Center for Public Health Nutrition at the University of Washington School of Public Health, where she focuses on the policy and environmental aspects of nutrition and physical activity in schools and childcare settings. And then we have Sally Yoshida. She is the interim executive director at Samuels & Associates, whose research focuses on the influence of the social and built environment on access to healthy food and physical activity in low-resource communities. Then we have Angie Craddock. She is a senior research scientist in the Department of Society, Human Development, and Health at the Harvard School of Public Health and deputy director of the Harvard Prevention Research Center. Dr. Craddock's research interests include preventive health policy and childhood obesity prevention. We have Laureen Ritchie. She is the director of research at the University of California, Berkeley's Atkins Center for Weight and Health, where she works to promote the development of interdisciplinary, science-based, and culturally relevant solutions to the obesity epidemic in children and families. And one of her current research interests includes the assessment of the nutrition environment in childcare. And then finally, we'll have Ellen Braff-Pajardo. She is the senior nutrition policy advocate from California Food Policy Advocates and also our timekeeper today. And she will be responding to the panel and guide the Q&A with the audience. So why water? Well, free drinking water provides a healthy, low-cost, zero-calorie beverage option. Drinking water instead of sugar-sweetened beverages can help limit excess weight gain and dental caries among children and adolescents. Water consumption also improves students' readiness to learn by reducing irritability and distraction from dehydration and thirst. Water is important for nutrition, physical activity, and overall health, and access to safe and appealing water should not be only for those who can afford to pay for bottled water. Water should be free, safe, and appealing for all, and should be available in school and childcare settings. So there are federal law and several states that have mandated this. The Healthy Hunger-Free Kids Act of 2010 reauthorizes all of the federal school meal and child nutrition programs, such as the school lunch, school breakfast, child and adult care food program, WIC, summer foods, and after-school suppers. The law has a number of provisions. I just want to highlight a few today. The law updates the nutritional standards for school meals, including requirements of fruits and vegetables, milk and sodium, The law gives the United States Department of Agriculture the authority to set science-based nutrition standards for competitive foods, foods and beverages and vending, a la carte, and school stores. The USDA will issue formal rules on competitive foods on school campuses sometime early next year. The law also mandates periodic assessment of wellness policy implementation plans and requires the plans to be made public. Now, the law also requires that students have access to water in schools. So for schools that participate in the National School Lunch Program, they are required to make free drinking water available where lunch meals are served during mealtime. At the National School Lunch Program, serves over 22 million free and reduced price lunches to students daily. So this has a large reach and impact. The law is in effect and was implemented during the 2011-2012 school year. The USDA issued guidance on the drinking water provision through their policy memo that was distributed in July 2011, and the memo addresses issues such as the location of the water source in the food service area and the use of the funds from the food service nonprofit account to cover reasonable costs associated with providing drinking water, such as the cost of cups and pitchers. And the USDA will issue formal rules on water in schools when it issues its rules for competitive foods. Now, the Child and Adult Care Food Program serves over 3.2 million children daily in child care centers, family care homes, and after-school programs. And the federal law requires institutions and homes participating in child and adult food care program to make water available throughout the day. States may enact stronger standards than federal regulations, and the Healthy Hunger Free Kids Act does not preempt these state standards. So states can adopt stronger requirements than the federal one for water availability in school and child care settings. So for example, in California, state law requires schools to provide water where reimbursement meals under the National School Lunch Program and the School Breakfast Program are served or consumed. Also in California, state law requires that water is available throughout the day, including meals and snacks in child care facilities. In Massachusetts, in addition to the food service area, water must be available throughout the school day. In Colorado, state law encourages school districts not only to adopt policies that promote healthy meals in schools and healthy food choices in vending machines, Colorado law also requires schools to adopt policies that promote access to adequate amount of drinking water throughout the day. And in West Virginia, the State Board of Education passed a policy that requires water be available throughout the school day and that cups are available with any water dispenser for easy student access. So with the federal water access requirements, several state laws, and let us not forget the local school district policies, we ask, well, what is the current state of water access in schools and childcare settings? We will provide some insight and discuss other key considerations. How are schools implementing the water in school requirements? What are some of the barriers schools face to improving water access? Location, unappealing drinking fountains, I think we all remember those from when we were in school. No funds to fix or upgrade the fountains, competitive beverages. And what do students think about water access compared to the school administrative perspective? What impact, if any, has the federal and state laws had on water access? So in California, are schools and child care facilities in compliance with the law? And what assistance do schools and child care facilities need to promote access and intake of water? And finally, we will share strategies for increasing water access and consumption among children and adolescents. Also, we want to hear from you, so be sure to save your questions and comments until the end, until we have the Q&A.